Backseat Reality, episode number 5. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Julie.
We are the Backseat Producers. This is Backseat Reality. So, we're still recording. 3 episodes in a row.
Woohoo! It's like a new record.
It is. And we're adding a lot to this this episode.
Yeah, we found some new shows this week. More time wasters.
Yeah. We wasted some extra time on that one, too, because we had to catch up on it.
Yeah.
So, this week we're going to talk about The Bachelorette, The Glee Project, Expedition Impossible, and The Voice. Do you have any preference where we start?
I don't care at all. Maybe The Voice, because we just finished it.
All right.
It's still fresh in my head, even without notes.
So, we should say that last week, when we left it, they had not yet given the results. We just heard the 8 perform, and America was going to vote, and the judges were going to give their percentage scores, and everything was going to be tallied, and we'd figure out who was going to stay and who was going to go. And when they came back on Wednesday, it was determined that the 4 that were staying were Javier, Beverly, Vicky, and Dia.
You remembered them all.
I did. I remembered Vicky this time. So the conceit of it was that America was going to vote between the two, and then they were basically going to be given the percentage of which votes go to which of the two contestants from each team. And the judges were also going to give 100 points. So it was basically a percentage score of who they thought performed better.
Right.
Adam, in my mind, was the only one that did it. The other 3 wimped out.
Yep, I completely agree.
And, I mean, what was it, Blake that gave the 1% difference, or was it CeeLo? It was Blake.
I don't remember.
Yeah, one of them did 51-49. It was ridiculous.
But the other 3 judges, two, did 50-50. So it was basically no difference. Just let America choose.
Yeah, they punted, they wimped out, and they just threw their hands in the air and said, "We don't want to have to make the decision. Right. Let America decide."
Well, and even Adam's explanation wasn't so much that Javier's just better. He's the one that should go on. It's more, oh, Javier, this might be your last chance because you've had all these other opportunities that fell through, and I really think you should be the one to go through. He didn't even come out and say, hey, you're the best, and I think you should be the one to go through. It was more, this is your last chance.
He didn't say this is your last chance.
He might as well have.
He said, you deserve this chance. The other one is Young, and I don't even remember who it was now.
Casey.
Yeah, that's
right. The girl looks
like Colby Calais. Yeah. He came out and said, "Casey, you're young. You will have more opportunities through the course of your life than Javier will at this point, because he's been given a number of opportunities that did not work out for one reason or another. Some of them through no fault of his own, from the way it sounds." That brings us to tonight. We have the top 4, and the top 4 were given the opportunity to sing a duet with their coach and an original song that was, I guess it was an original song that was chosen for them. It didn't sound like it was something that was an original that they were able to provide, something
right
from their repertoire. It was something that was basically handed to them.
That would make sense, because it had to be something that the producers cleared the rights and everything too.
Well, if it's something that they brought to the show, that would be something. they could kind of get the rights from the person who wrote it.
Traditionally, I never like the original songs on these shows. Idol, I always hate the original song.
Well, the Idol ones are always so cheesy. They turn it into some big, this is my moment song. And most of them are just so cheesy. Some of these actually had some character to them. And they were just basically, from the way it sounds, they were given the basic music and the lyrics, but were allowed to do arrangements that kind of fit their style. And I don't remember the names of all the songs, but the two that in my mind really stood out were Dia and Beverly's performances. And Dia's, I thought, just fit her personality really well.
Yeah.
And her vocal style. She was at the piano, and it played to both her softer voice, and she was able to belt out the chorus, and she did it really well.
Yeah, I really liked her. Because she had gone third out of the originals.
Right.
And I really wasn't crazy about the first two, Vicky and Javier's.
No.
And I really like Javier, but I didn't like his
Javier's
song.
Yeah, Javier's song was just kind of laid there. He did kind of just a straight song. There was nothing
with a lot
memorable.
Of vocal gymnastics to it.
Wow, yeah.
And then Vicky, it just didn't seem like it fit her. Like, we both said that once we saw Beverly's, it was like a big, more rock song.
A big, bombastic performance.
That's what Vicky needed. The song that she was given was just a little bit too soft. I mean, it was more rock than Diaz, but it still wasn't suited to Vicky.
No, and what was funny was when Vicky was performing the song, she was jumping all over the place.
She's hysterical how she jumps around. She looks like a little cricket.
She was all over the place, but
it didn't fit the song.
It didn't fit the song at all. It was like she wanted the song to be more high energy, and it just wasn't. And she had all this energy just bursting to get out, and the song didn't provide it. Or I shouldn't say the song didn't provide it. The arrangement didn't provide it.
And then Beverly, neither one of us really liked very much, but we both liked her performance.
Yeah, I think with Beverly, for me, it's more a personality thing. I'm just not a fan. But her performance, her solo performance was fantastic. She had a great performance. She sang the song very well. It was very energetic song and performance that just fit.
Yeah.
It fit very nicely with her.
And then they keep saying that you're not supposed to judge the contestants on the duet performance.
Yeah, because everybody's going to turn off that half their brain.
Right, but it's half the show, and then even at the end when they do the recaps, they showed everybody their original and their duet. So I don't see how you can't judge them on it.
Yeah, that was
dumb. Dia and Blake were really good. They did the Tom Petty song. Do you remember what it was?
Won't Back Down.
Yeah, and that was really good. They kind of came out dressed like the Blues Brothers and had sunglasses on. It was cute.
Yeah, they did a kind of a subdued performance, but Blake let her shine. That was one of the things I noticed, that when they did that performance, Blake let her microphone was actually turned up higher than his was when they were singing in harmonies. You could very clearly hear her over him, and he's got kind of a booming kind of voice. By all rights, you should have been hearing him over her, and that was not the case. So it was, I don't know whose decision that was, but I think that was a good decision.
Yeah.
to let it showcase what she could do, and she's great. So that wasn't a problem. It wasn't like he was showing off that she was bad or anything. He was showing off her talent.
And then Christina and Beverly did Beautiful.
Not a great performance in my mind.
I think it was okay. I'm not crazy about the song.
There were parts of it that felt uncomfortable. Like, they weren't sure, like, some of the wording. Like the original is, it's a solo performance, so it's words won't bring me down. And a few times they sang it as me, and once or twice it was like Beverly kept looking over to Christina, like saying, are we going to sing us now? Because it seemed like she just kept looking to Christina for that cue. And it was weird. There was a little bit of a weird vibe about it. Plus, I wasn't really impressed with Christina's performance during that song. I think Beverly sang it just fine, but Christina was, I don't know, her performance of it just seemed off. And it was her song.
Yeah.
So that was even more unusual.
Then Adam and Javier did Man in the Mirror. That was really good.
It was okay. It was good. The problem is with both of their voices are so... They're both in kind of the same register. And that song, lyrically, it's kind of hard to... It was kind of hard to understand the words as they were singing them. I mean, you know the song. It's not... I mean, it's not like it's an unknown song. It's a Michael Jackson song. Pretty popular hit. But it just... It was odd. That performance just didn't stand out for me. I think the weakest overall of all four of them tonight was Javier, if I'm going to rank all of them.
No, I like this duet.
Well, I'm saying if you encapsulate each of the four, I think if I'm gonna rank them 1 to 4, I think Javier's 4 for the night.
I think Vicky's 4 to me. No,
really?
No, still Beverly.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Beverly still lasts for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Beverly did. I think Beverly's solo puts her in a better light for me. Because we're supposed to judge her by the solos.
That's right.
We're supposed to judge by the solos.
Yeah, judging by the solos, it would be Vicky in the bottom, Javier, Beverly, Dia for me. But realistically, that's not how I would vote.
I would vote for Dia.
Yeah, me too. So then the last duet was CeeLo and Vicky.
Love is a Battlefield. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah, that was a really lot of fun. It was a cool performance to watch. She sang it well.
CeeLo was scary looking though.
Yeah, they did kind of a Road Warrior vibe. That was a lot of fun to watch. And some of the dance moves they plucked straight from the original music video. So I thought that was pretty cool.
So how do you think it's going to shake out and who's going to win?
I don't know. I really want it to be Dia.
I think really it's want be
it
to Beverly. Be,
but I have a feeling it might be Beverly. I don't know. I just don't know. It's hard to tell because looking at how some of the voting has gone, like Javier beat the snot out of
Casey.
But there's no indication of how he did versus the others.
Right.
So we know how he did amongst his team, and each of those four were clearly the best of their team. And I really don't have a problem with those four.
Well, like Dia was last week was up against the little girl, Xenia.
Xenia.
And when they split out that vote, there was only like 10% dividing the two of them.
And that astounded me.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Because Xenia was horrible.
Yes. That is very true.
So that doesn't show me that Dia has a really strong following going into tonight.
Or nobody expected Xenia to get any votes, so they just didn't waste their time voting for her. You gotta figure for the votes to be equal across the board, people would have had to have voted 4 times at least. How many of those groupings got more votes than the others? If you only called to vote in once, which of the four pairings would you have voted for? You see what I'm saying?
No. I have no idea what you're talking
about. So last week, if you're only going to call in once, who are you going to call in for?
Dia.
Okay. That's only one of the four pairings.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, you know, is which of the four pairings had overall the most votes?
But how many people do that? Either you don't vote at all or you vote like crazy.
Yeah, but you're going to vote like crazy for one person. You're not going to vote for 4 different people.
No, I would have voted for all of them, knowing that how it was structured and that they were up against each other.
But some of them,
I don't do that for Idol.
Some of them you might just not care about, though. So you're not gonna bother to vote. If you don't care about either of the two people, if you don't have a strong opinion, why are you gonna waste your time voting? For example, let's say you don't care about Javier or Casey. Why not just put, you know, instead of calling for Dia once and Javier once, just call for Dia twice.
You know,
you're at that point you're making better use of your time.
Right.
It's time management. It's very important.
In your electronic voting for reality shows.
Yes.
I usually don't vote on these things. Even Idol, I only vote in the finale.
Yeah, I don't
bother. It's just not worth my time. Well, I know you don't bother.
I think I might have voted like once in like season two or three of Idol. Just and I probably was doing one of those vote for the worst things just to keep somebody terrible around.
I'm surprised they haven't done a voice vote for the worst.
There maybe there is. Have you been checking those sites?
No.
So, who do you think is going to win? What? How would you break it down? And who do you think is going to win? Different.
Who's going to win different?
No. Who would you like to see win? And who do you think is
going to win?
I want to
see Dia win, but I think it's going to be Beverly. All right. Because I think she probably has the biggest following and had the strongest performance tonight. Combining those two, I mean, Vicky probably has a really big following too. I can't remember what the breakdown was between her and Nakia last week.
She had a pretty
big lead.
She had a pretty big lead on Nakia. I think the ones that were close were Beverly and Frenchie.
They were close.
They were close, and
I wish Frenchie got on. I liked her.
Yeah, I like Frenchie also, but last week her performance was not good. She had the bad performance of Like a Prayer.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, all right, let's move on.
Okay.
We got three other shows to talk about.
Okay, next show, you pick.
Let's talk about the Glee Project.
Glee Project.
Since we're doing music, let's continue on that theme. There have been three episodes.
We watched them all on Sunday.
And let's just talk about Sunday's episode, because otherwise we'll be here all night just talking, catching it up.
Okay.
Very briefly, the concept of the show is... Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
No, you're the one worried about not being able to talk, so talk. I'll go get a drink or something.
The concept of the show is that they have narrowed this competition already down to, was it 12 kids? They had an audition episode, and we missed that one.
I think they said 14.
Okay. And each week they're going to have singing competitions, and then part of it is acting, too. And Ryan Murphy comes in and picks the ultimate person to be kicked off that week. Ryan Murphy's the producer of Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ultimate winner gets a 7-episode arc on the show.
My Twitter's going off. So
by the time Sunday's episode, new episode is on, they've kicked off two people, and then this week was this week theatricality?
No, it was.
See, this is why we need to take notes. You laugh at me about my notes.
No, I can't place the word. It's vulnerability.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
This week is vulnerability.
Yeah. So what they do is they come in and they've had a homework assignment where they have a song that they've had to learn. This week the song was... I don't remember. And I don't remember who the guest judge was.
The guest judge... the guest judge was Coach Beast.
Oh, that's right. So each week when they have this homework assignment, they do a big group song. And each one has kind of a little solo, and they have someone who's a cast member come in. So far, they've had Darren Criss, Idina Menzel, and now Coach Beast, Dot Marie Jones. And then they pick who they think did the best. And that person gets a little bit of extra coaching from that Glee cast member. And is that what they consider their advantage in the final challenge? The extra coaching that they get?
Yeah, it's... They get one-on-one time.
Gotcha. So, this week they were singing... I don't remember what they sang for their homework assignment. It's been a long time since Sunday.
Oh, okay. The homework assignment was Please Don't Leave Me by Pink.
Oh, that's right.
Because they're showing the vulnerability.
Right.
They're showing that angst. And Mateus won again.
There's this guy on the show named Mateus, and he's got a lot of personality to him. He's about 3 foot nothing.
Would they say he was 4'9"?
And he's not like a dwarf. He's just small.
I question 4'9".
Yeah, I do too, because he seems much smaller than that.
unless some of the other contestants are tall. Because he just
seem all that tall.
Quite a bit shorter than most of the rest of them.
Because he even seems shorter than the girl that said she constantly got cast playing a 10-year-old.
Right.
He's even shorter than her.
Yeah. And she's actually gone at this point.
Yeah. So he gets a little bit extra coaching with Coach Beast, and then what they do is they set up a video shoot. They shoot it, then they judge based on the person's attitude, how they did during the studio performance, because they record the song in studio. Then they also have the video shoot. They seem to be really focusing in on the people's performance in the studio session and like their attitude on set as to who should be in the bottom three. So then after the video, then they show the video. This week was really neat because they did kind of like they did on the show with the boards where they had to put something about themselves that they don't like. So each of them had something. The one guy had small, one girl had fat.
The one had used.
This one guy, he's tall, very, very skinny guy. Can't remember his name. It's like Cameron, maybe?
It's Cameron. Yeah, because I was saying he could be Cameron if they ever did a remake.
He seems very self-confident, and it was just like he couldn't find really anything that he wanted. So he said he was misunderstood, and it was because he didn't really fit in at his old school. So then they get it down to like the final three people who then are given a song that they have to prepare, perform it in front of Ryan Murphy, and then based on that, he picks the one who will not be called back, and then that's how they say who's going home.
Right, and one of the things I think is cool about the show in general is they're really focusing on finding someone to be a cast member.
Right.
They really are looking for someone who can act, who can sing, who can dance.
And someone that they can write to.
Someone that they can write to, and also someone who can be a team player.
Right.
I think that's one of the things that is already I can see, even after just watching these three episodes, that is different than other reality shows where some of the reality shows like The Bachelorette keep the crazies around to keep the show interesting. This one, if you start acting like an idiot and not playing along with the rest of the group, they're going to call you on it, and you're going to get bounced.
They've said, we are on a tight schedule, and you have to be able to hit your marks and do this and have your songs, and you get a very limited amount of time in the studio to do your song, and you have to do it right first time out. And, I mean, they're really on these kids about that.
Yeah, they made mention in this episode that sometimes they only have an hour or two to learn a song before they're recording it for the show. I mean, you look, they have sometimes five or six musical numbers during an episode. Now, they're not full song. You know, they're not full 5-6 minute songs. But even a 2 minute song, that takes a lot of work.
A lot of them, the full version is recorded, though. If you buy the CD or download the songs off iTunes, it is a full version of the song. They may not show it all on the episode, but they've recorded the full thing.
Yes, because we have a number of those CDs.
I know we do. And I know a number of the songs right off the top of my head where only a snippet of it was played on the show.
Right.
Because I was very disappointed because I really, really liked the song, but then the full version was available on the CD or iTunes.
Yes.
And I think I may have copies off of the CD and iTunes.
That is not a surprise. That is called a double dip.
So some of the cast members on the show, there's a guy from Ireland, Damien, got the cutest accent ever. And this, I guess she was kicked off this week, wasn't she?
Emily was kicked off.
Yeah, she's kind of a sassy New York Latino girl. I liked her. I thought she was funny.
McKinley. Ellis was kicked off in the previous week. That was,
And there's a guy with dreads, and there's this pretty redheaded girl that for some reason just bugs me. I don't know why. She kind of just looks like you're looking at glass in her eyes. There's like nothing behind there.
So
kind of like looking at our dumb dog.
So they do the video for Mad World. After that, they get down to the three who did the worst. And it's not necessarily that they did the worst, but for some reason or another, they stood out as
a problem.
A problem or inferior in some way. Not necessarily in the video itself, not in the final product, but maybe in the production of the product.
Right.
Which is, I think, the case with Emily, because she seemed... The thing with Emily is, and I said this when we were watching it, I can't stand her personality. She just bugs me. But every time you see her perform, she performs very well. She's got a great voice. Yeah. Even like her acting in the final product always looks really polished and good, and she's putting forth the attitude that's appropriate for the performance. But she's got like this, I'm a super flirt, and I can just, you know, giggle and flirt and get away with anything, and I'm sassy. And I mean, that was her big thing. And it came back to bite her because she couldn't keep a straight face while they were trying to record the video about her vulnerability.
Right.
So she's trying to be all vulnerable because she was apparently sexually abused during
I don't know if it was so much abused as...
She said she was used, and she said...
Oh, yeah, but that's not necessarily abused. That could just be, you know, she bartered something and came out on the wrong end of the barter.
Yeah. and it was by people who were trying to further her music career,
right,
or something. But anyway, the three that were selected at the bottom were Cameron, Emily, and Damien. And Cameron, they said, they just... They were trying to portray vulnerability, and he just came off as very together. The problem was is he was just comfortable in his own skin.
Right.
Which, you know, for a show like Glee, part of the conceit of the show is it's people who are outsiders, who are freaks, who aren't the best, prettiest, happiest people all the time. They should have some problem. And he just never, it just never felt like he had a problem. Poor guy.
Well, they kind of said Damien was like that, too, that they just didn't believe him.
Well, they said he looked like he was trying too hard because his word was numb. It's just he feels like he's emotionally numb. And they said it felt like he was coming off, like he was trying too hard to ignore people, which,
right,
looking at the video, it did. He... You know, people would look at him, he'd kind of scowl at them like, I'm ignoring you. and then there was Emily, which we said that she...
was being too goofy in between takes.
Right. And she couldn't recover from that.
Right.
Some people have the ability to be goofy between takes, and when the camera turns on, you know, she's ready. Apparently she did not have the ability to turn it back off.
So Cameron did the Elton John song.
Your song.
And Damien did...
Are You Lonesome Tonight? And then Emily did Grenade by Bruno Mars. It was funny because Cameron came out, like, ready to perform. like he came out dressed up and not himself.
And some of these, if this is the first time they're bottom three, it seems like it's the first time Ryan Murphy's seeing them. Because he came out and when Cameron came out in this suit and singing the song, he's like... I can't write to you. I can't identify with you. And then he shows like a casting picture or something he has of Cameron, kind of a hipster outfit and skinny jeans and a slouchy kind of cardigan sweater and stuff, big glasses. And he's like, this guy I can write for. So they actually went and had Cameron change clothes and come back out.
Yeah, and like I was saying, the Cameron that we've seen, like the person, not when he's like in a performance mode. He could totally be, if they ever did a remake of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he could be Cameron. He could just, he doesn't have to change his name. He could be the Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's just, he kind of has that vibe about him.
I don't get that, but okay.
Look at him. He could totally be Cameron. Anyway.
Okay. Okay, so
moving
then
on.
Damien is rehearsing his Elvis song, and he gets all choked up because he says at some point he had to choose between the love of his life and his career, and he chose his career. And so he's showing that made him more vulnerable, and so it kind of came across in his performance.
Yeah.
And they really liked him.
Yeah, I thought he did a great performance. I kind of like the guy. I like his voice. I like his singing.
Yeah.
I think he's an interesting guy.
And then Emily did Bruno Mars' Grenade. It was good.
It was okay.
I don't really remember their critiques of her, though.
I think that they just kind of got it down to that she was just kind of difficult. I think that was their biggest concern with her. was that she can act vulnerable, but she's not vulnerable.
Right.
She doesn't... The personality that she puts forth to people in her everyday life is not that.
When I was kind of looking, as you know, I'm looking at the last three, is there a place that they could be in the show that would differentiate them from someone else? And I look at her, I'm just like, that's Santana. Why would they need her on there?
Right.
The other guys they could do something different with or whatever, but it was like, there was, I couldn't see what they would do with her.
Yeah. I mean, Cameron, with a little bit of, you know, with an interesting character written, he could be, you know, a gawky, lanky geek.
Right.
And Damien could very easily be a foreign exchange student who's just kind of an outsider because of that.
Right.
And with his accent, they can make his accent a little thicker. Do something like Snatch with Brad Pitt, where he just starts rattling off stuff and he's speaking English,
but nobody
can't understand a word that he says.
Well, they even joked about that on this episode, or maybe it was one.
No, it was this one
where they were joking. The other cast members were saying Damien says stuff, and they have no idea what he's saying. That because it's some you know local phrase to Ireland that they were like, "Well, I have no idea."
Yeah, and you could easily do that and make him an outsider just because nobody can understand a word he's saying. But what's funny is and you could even do it in the show where the girls are all just like gaga over him.
And
the guys are like, what is he saying? We don't care.
Because you know? He really is cute.
So I think he could actually fit on the show.
Yeah. So it's an entertaining little show. It's on, what, Oxygen?
It's on Oxygen. Okay, Oxygen. And I'll tell you, for my money, I prefer to watch this over The Real Glee. At least compared, if I'm going to compare the three episodes I've seen so far of this to last season of Glee.
Season two of Glee kind of struggled.
Season two was rough. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, which helped me with the naming of all the songs and everything.
Here, I'm just trying to think of them.
There's not going to be an episode this weekend because of the holiday weekend. The next episode is going to be on July 10th.
Oxygen replays them all like crazy, so if anybody's interested in catching up...
You will likely be able to catch up.
Yeah, I think Sunday each episode played twice.
Yeah.
And then the new one played in the evening, so you could probably catch it on repeats very easily.
Looking ahead... the next episode is Danceability, and the music video that they're going to do is You Can't Touch This.
That should be funny.
The guest judge is Mike Chang, which kind of makes sense. He's the guy on the show that doesn't sing, he just dances. That would be the fourth episode. The fifth episode is Parability, so I'm guessing they're going to be doing some duets. The sixth episode is Tenacity. And the seventh episode is Sexuality. So that's just a little bit of information.
Are there any of the other guest judge or guest star people listed?
Yeah, they have the guest star for Parability. They have Darren Criss listed.
Again.
And for the Tenacity episode, Max Adler, who is Karofsky, Dave Karofsky. They do not have... the Sexuality one listed. So
I hope they get some of the bigger people from the show to show up. Brittany or Santana would be good for the Sexuality.
Yeah. And Parability, it would be nice to see somebody with Darren Criss.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two guest judges.
Criss Colfer.
That would make sense. I mean, it would make sense to have the two of them show up.
That'd be cute.
Yeah.
Okay, next show. Bachelorette or Expedition Impossible? You choose.
Let's go ahead and do Bachelorette.
Okay. What, you want to get it over with?
Yeah, I don't think there's...
Not a whole lot to talk about this time.
Well, there's one thing to talk about.
Manlyhood?
My God, she's such a moron. I just hate her more and more. All the time. So... they start the episode...
and she's still whining about this wiener Bentley.
Yeah, she's still whining about Bentley. And what's his name shows up?
Chris Harrison.
Harrison, yeah. Chris Harrison shows up.
He has the easiest job in television, doesn't he? It's even easier than Jeff Probst.
Yeah. Did you hear big news today that Probst is getting his own talk show?
I know. I heard he was going to be on daytime TV. I thought for sure he was going to be taking over for Regis. Then I heard it was his own show.
That's kind of cool. I actually like Jeff Probst. I might actually record an episode or two of his talk show just because he doesn't seem to be afraid to...
Everybody's jumping in the field to try and take over Oprah's slot.
Hey, somebody's got to do it. What I like about Probst is he doesn't seem to be afraid to just call people out for doing stupid stuff.
But and that's only Survivor people that he knows he's...
if you're going on his show, why not? If that's what he's known for, if that's what he becomes known for, that might be one of the things to do. Especially if you're one of those celebrities who's screwed up, you know, who's done something colossally dumb and needs to, like Charlie Sheen, and just needs to, you know, the WTF.
They don't do that on daytime TV, though.
They should.
Daytime TV is all huggy, feel-good TV.
That's going to be disappointing.
For all the old people and stay-at-home moms.
That's disappointing. All right.
Okay, so it starts off, and she's still whining about Bentley. Chris comes in and says, hey, guess what? Bentley's here.
We flew him over. Great.
And she's like, shut up. No way.
And you can even like see her like kind of smiling.
Like, oh, he came back for me. Yay, my happy ending. He's here just for me.
Now we'll be able to conclude the dot, dot, dot.
Put a period on the dot, dot, dot. So she goes down to the room to visit him, and he's still just as much of a schmuck as always. I think she's expecting, you know, she was just going to fall into his arms, and that was going to be the happy ending. And they walked in and sat on the couch and had a very uncomfortable conversation about, oh, how's your daughter? How's things been going since I left? I mean, it's just really, really awkward.
Yeah. Well, and then she pretty much just confronts him and says, you know, why did you do this? Why did you leave me this way? And you could tell she was almost expecting him to say,
I can't live without you.
I screwed up. I can't live without you. Come back with me. Dump all these other guys.
And he
was just like, you know, I want to see you when you come back.
And if this doesn't work out, come see me in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And so then she finally says, so are you putting a period on our dot, dot, dot?
Oh, my God.
She's all about the punctuation.
For the record, and I hope you people join me, there's a Facebook group called It's an Ellipsis, Not Dot, Dot, Dot.
While we're watching this show, he comes over here and he's going to set up a Facebook page that complains about this dot, dot, dot thing.
And there
already one here.
Boom. And it was before the show, even. I would bet it was somebody in the production staff.
Probably.
That knew that this was
one
coming.
One of the editors. It was like, oh, my freaking God, how many times is she going to say this?
Because it was just made in April. So it wasn't that long ago. Somebody knew about this. Somebody got a preview of this or something. Bentley probably started it.
So she leaves Bentley, and she's, oh, I'm so strong now. I've left Bentley, and now I can move forward with these guys. Blah, blah, blah. So she goes on the first date with the dude from last week that all he wanted to do was fight everybody in the street.
Lucas.
That bothered you so much. And they had an okay date, and there wasn't anything spectacular.
Yeah.
They wandered around like a market, and they ate some food, and that's kind of all I remember.
It was kind of... Just kind of a date.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
So then they went on, did the group date, and the group date was taking all the guys out, and they had to round up a dragon boat team in China when they didn't speak Chinese.
That was funny.
So that was kind of cute. And then the winning group, what did the winning group get to do? You know what? That wasn't it. The group date was last. The second one-on-one was next with JP.
Was
because
it?
Remember at the group date, JP already knew her big news about seeing Bentley. So she had the one-on-one with JP.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'd had the one-on-one with JP, and she did. They were having a really, really good date and having a good time together. And he was like, oh, you know, I just really feeling a lot for you. And it all happened at this date. Well, he was the one that she had the one-on-one date with the day Bentley left. So she was a total mess. And they basically just hung out in their jammies and, you know, had a normal kind of couple evening.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, I need to tell you something.
And here's the beginning of the end.
And so she starts telling him, well, I saw Bentley, and he came to Hong Kong because I had this whole ... and I couldn't move on, and he took it really well. He's like, okay, well, is it over? And she's like, yeah, it's totally over. Now I've realized that, you know, I didn't really have feelings for him, that it was more just an infatuation thing, and that you can't really have... That's what was funniest. You can't really have true feelings for someone that soon. Like, that's the whole point of this show, is that you get inappropriately fast feelings for someone, and you're engaged within 6 weeks. So he took it really, really well. And then they went and did this group date. And after the whole dragon boat thing, she's all dressed up, and she comes in and she tells the guys. She's like, well, because JP took it so well, I'm going to tell the rest of the guys. So she comes in and she sits down and she's like, well, I just want to let you know, Bentley was here, and I know you guys knew that I was upset when he left, but you didn't really know why I was upset. And I was really, really upset when he left because it was him, because I had really fallen for him. And
I was really falling for him. And
so basically the other guys...
I knew I had found the one. And the rest of the guys were like, what?
why are we still here then?
WTF. Yeah. What is going on?
And then half of them got really mad, and a couple of them really called her out on it. And they're like, why are we here? You're wasting our time. You knew this weeks ago. You've been just playing us this whole time. And one of them actually quit. Mickey quit.
That was awesome. That I cheered.
He's cute, too. I bet he's going to be the next Bachelor.
I said that first. you recorded first. I said it first.
No, you said it first. But I said he was cute.
Yeah, that's true.
And so then JP says, well, you know, this is really hard for her. And when she told me last night, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
You last night? You didn't tell us? He's like, well, I didn't think it was my place.
It wasn't his place. No. And it was actually...
And they didn't really get that mad at him.
Good
not
for
that
they
him. Showed.
Good for him for not saying it. Because he could have easily dicked out on that.
But the dentist guy, Blake, he kind of really let her have it. And at one point, she's trying to sit down on this couch and talk to him about it. He's standing on the railing of this boat where they're doing the rose ceremony that night. And he's like, no, I want to stand or something. Like, he wouldn't even let her sit down.
Makes
he was
her,
so mad.
He made her be in an uncomfortable position.
Uh-huh.
He orchestrated the situation. Like, he stood up and positioned himself in such a way that there was no good way for her to face him and lean against something.
Right. She
or
had to
sit
just
down.
Stand there.
She's just going to stand in the middle of the room like a kid, like just taking it.
Yeah. So he ended up being the one kicked off. Since Mickey left, she only had to kick off one. Oh, yeah. And that was the other thing with Mickey. He said, if... I don't remember what exactly he was saying, but if you really felt that way about Bentley or you don't think I'm the one or something, let me go.
No, it was... What he said was, if you really felt that way about Bentley, then you
he
can't...
He was pulling, like, the Ali Vienna thing.
Right.
If you liked him that much, you can't like me because we're nothing alike, so let me go. And she's like, I'm not going to let you go. You need to be the one.
If you're not going to accept the rose, why don't you just make the decision now and leave?
Next thing you know, you see him walking out to the boat. I was like, oh, guess he's leaving.
And what was funny was the other guys were like, hey, good for him.
Uh-huh.
And there was not, at least they didn't show any conversation like, yay, one less guy. Uh-huh. It was more like, hey.
I think that's always implied when one of them quits.
He made up his mind and he stood his ground.
Yeah.
Cheers. And, yeah.
So now they're down to six. Was it six? Yeah, I think it's six. They started with eight tonight. And they're off to Taiwan next week. And hopefully we will hear the end of Bentley and the ...
Not next
week. Oh, yeah, not next week. It's on next week because they said in this season of The Bachelorette, and they were, like, giving all kinds of the last couple episode previews down to the final, you know, proposal.
And it looks like something heartbreaking happens at the end. Oh, she's so excited.
She's in, like, the final dress, you know, because they always have the final proposal dress, and she's just bawling her eyes out and saying, how could this happen to me? Of course, that could all be a voiceover, but...
Right.
But she was definitely crying in the dress.
Yeah, but...
And saying, this is the hardest day of my life. But usually after they kick the first person off...
Right.
the bachelor bachelorette person is always saying, "Oh, this is so hard."
They have an emotional moment because they had to make a decision. They just kicked that person off. They broke their heart. They drug them out this long. Blah 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 blah.
So it's probably just creative editing for that, but you never know. Maybe they're both gonna dump her butt.
Nothing would make me happier. Nothing.
What did they say about her on the soup? It was so funny. Something about her having a challenging personality and a difficult face or something.
A difficult voice.
Voice. okay, last one. Expedition Impossible.
Amazing Race Clone. This one's kind of
interesting. Amazing Race done Burnett style.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Burnett's done shows like this before. He did that one where teams were traveling across the United States. That was kind of in a similar fashion.
Was that the one where they came to St. Louis with the families?
I believe so.
That wasn't a Burnett thing, was it?
I don't remember now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is it's kind of like Amazing Race. There are some subtle differences. The teams are three people instead of just two,
mm-hmm. And they name themselves instead of just the names people end up giving them.
And it's kind of funny because, like, I don't know half the names. I don't normally. It takes me 3 or 4 weeks to get the names of anybody on the Amazing Race. At this point, I could probably name off half the teams.
The team names are kind of like the ones you give on the Amazing Race: the blondes, the football players,
the firefighters.
Right. So that's kind of what these are like.
Right.
They start off in, was it the Sahara?
It's Morocco, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's not a desert. What desert were they in?
In the Sahara.
The Sahara.
They're in Morocco.
They weren't in Morocco. They were in the middle of a desert.
Yes, in Morocco. Because that's where the whole show is going to be.
No, it's not.
I believe it is.
That's going to get boring in just one city.
It's kind of like... No, it's kind of like... I think it's one country.
No, Morocco's teeny tiny. Isn't it only like the size of a city?
I don't believe so, because part of it's in the desert, as we saw.
Well, that's why I was telling you they were in the desert, not Morocco, because I don't think Morocco has a desert.
Regardless.
You need a Wikipedia, Morocco.
The title card even says something like the Moroccan Adventure or something. Yeah, it does.
So they start in the desert, and their first challenge, I'm sure I'm mixing up Amazing Race terminology and Expedition Impossible terminology.
Yeah, who cares? It's all the same.
They have to climb up this big, huge sand dune. I mean, it's like a mountain of sand that they're having to climb this thing. One of the guys is blind, so he's like at these poles, and he's using climb it up.
That guy's awesome. That guy's
he's
awesome.
He's got the funniest sense of humor, and he's great. And so they get all the way up this thing.
I love his attitude, too, because he's like, yeah, people expect me to lose, and I'm okay with that. Because, like, if I lose, I'm the blind guy, and so it's like, it's not a big deal. But if they lose to the blind guy, that's a big deal for them.
So they get all the way up this mountain, and then they get climbed down, not a mountain, big, huge sand dune, and come back down, and then there's a... bunch of camels there, and they each have to pick a group of three camels and either walk them or ride them to their next next little adventure challenge thing. Mm-hmm. So they all are fighting the camels, how to get on. The camels are growling at them. The camels don't want to move. Just a lot of funny stuff with the camels. They all trek some more across the sand and get to a spot where they need to dig water. And they don't give them any clues about what they need to do. They just say, you need to fill up this jug of water. And nobody knows what they're doing. The first couple teams there, one of them figures out you dig down in the sand, and that's where the water is. So they get theirs, and I don't know why they don't fill this hole back up. Because now everybody else that comes after them sees either they have to dig a hole, so they dig their own, or the very last team's coming up, they just use those holes, fill up their water, and go. So
it's kind of funny.
It was really kind of a disadvantage for the first teams that got there because they had to not only figure it out, but then they had to dig the hole.
All right. So for the record, it's the series follows 13 teams of three competitors as they, quote, solve problems while racing across deserts, over mountains, and through rivers across the nation of Morocco.
Okay. I was wrong about Morocco then.
And Morocco has a population of 34 million.
Oh.
The largest city is Casablanca.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong.
Yeah.
I have to apologize to Prince Albert and the rest of Princess Grace's children. I can't remember their names. Princess Stephanie and Princess Caroline.
Yes, because it is officially...
For defaming their little country.
It is officially the Kingdom of Morocco.
Okay. So, they get their water. Then where do they go after the water?
That is a good
question. Is that when they had to do the repelling? Repelling, as everyone kept calling it?
Oh, my God. Bunch of morons.
It's like the mountain's a magnet, and it's going to repel them down the...
Yeah, give me just a second. All right, so the first checkpoint was they had to go up the tall sand dune.
Checkpoint, that's what it is.
They call them checkpoints. The second checkpoint was when they had to take the three camels. They had to get three camels and take them to the Lone Palm camp. Then they had to find the water. Then they proceed on foot to the Todra Mountain.
Oh, yeah, they left the camels there with the water. Yeah. That's why they were getting the water, to feed the camels. Give the camels a drink.
Then they rappel 300 feet into the Todra Gorge, and then they travel on foot to Snake Valley, which was checkpoint 4. And there they had to count the number of snakes, and then they had to go to the finish line.
So they find the water, then they go down and they have to rappel down this mountain, and all three members of the team have to do this. It's not like Amazing Race where, you know, it's the roadblock or detour or whatever, where only one has to do it. All three have to. Blind guy did really good.
Hey, he did great.
There's a team that's a mom and two daughters, and the mom was freaking out. She didn't want to do it.
And he was, like, saying, yeah, I've done this before.
Well, I wonder, I mean, if you're blind, do you have a fear of heights? Because it's not like you look down and see how far away it is.
He said, he did say something about he could...
Maybe that's an advantage.
He said it's different for him because... He can hear, he can tell that he's on a face of something because of the sounds and the way the sounds move around him. So
in the meantime, there's this team of three Latina girls from New York, and they just keep fighting with each other and crabbing. Even the locals are joking, I would not marry that woman.
That was hilarious.
Then there's another team that is, I don't know what they are. If they're army,
I've got the list of the teams right here.
Oh.
If it helps. So you've got the Gypsies, which were the guys that
had the big nose.
Yes,
they had the porn stashes.
Yes, they did. They should. That team should not be the Gypsies. They should be the porn stashes. They really should. The Fab Three, which was siblings and a gay friend.
I think the boy sibling was also.
Okay. That's
they're
I
the
think,
they
I
were the
so.
First ones that to figure out to dig for the water. They're a good team,
right? Right. There was the football players, then Team Kansas, which was the sisters.
Oh yeah.
The fishermen, No Limits, which No Limits is the team with the blind guy on it. The Country Boys.
It was the Country Boys, where there's this whiner that they were halfway up the mountain and or the sand dune, and he sat down and was like,
They were all in camo.
Yeah, and the rules are if one of your team members quits, the whole team's out.
Right.
So they're like, no, you can't quit now. We haven't even got to the first thing.
They weren't even to the first checkpoint.
And
what's funny
ready
is
to quit.
They were making fun of like some of the other all female teams.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're not gonna be able to do it.
And they got passed on the mountain.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was pretty good. There's the New York Firemen, the California Girls, which are the college age girls.
I barely remember them.
I don't think they got featured much. The Cops, Mom's Army, and Grandpa's Warriors, and Latin Persuasion.
The Grandpa's Warriors, he's almost 70, wasn't he? And his son and then granddaughter.
Right, right. And at one point, they're all doing something on foot, And Grandpa's, like, dragging her around. Because she was, at one point, he's like, yeah, I'm just afraid that with my age, I'm going to slow the team down. And it turns out it's the college-age granddaughter is the one that's slowing them down.
So they all end up rappelling down the mountain, and then they get to this checkpoint where there's snake handlers. What are they doing with the snakes?
They were just snake charming. They were,
and so you know the snakes are all over the place. So their challenge is they have to count the snakes. Then, based on the number that they think there are, there's these suitcases, and they have to go open the suitcase that corresponds with their number, and then it tells them which way to go. Well, if they pick the wrong number, it tells them to go the wrong direction about half an hour before they run into a sign that says you're wrong, go back.
Yeah, so that puts them basically an hour behind.
But that's so much better than the Amazing Race, where like the same type of challenge would be you have to keep running up to the a local person with the number and they say if you're right or wrong. This one has more serious impact.
The consequences seem to be a little more real.
Yeah. And then the other difference with the race is you're seeing more of the journey than hopping in a cab. I mean, I know it's different because they can't, they're in the desert, but maybe that, I don't know if that'll continue or not.
Well, and I mean, with the race, with Amazing Race, they do three things. Mm-hmm. This did four checkpoints. Was it four or five?
Yeah, we're watching it. I'm just like, oh my God, how many more things are they going
to
do?
They did four checkpoints, then went to the finish line.
Yeah.
And it always seemed to be moving. There really wasn't a whole lot of downtime. Granted, mm-hmm. it's still early in the show and there's 13 teams, so things are going to be hopping pretty quick at this point. And they're not going to focus a whole lot on personalities yet.
Because there's still too many teams.
Right.
They did have some annoying voiceovers from the host.
Yeah, I think that's just growing pains with the host.
Yeah.
But all in all, it was a fun show to watch. Mm-hmm. I think there's some teams that will keep it interesting. I'm curious to see how they handle the time delay of, like, the way Amazing Race does. You know, when you arrive at the checkpoint, then 12 hours later, 24 hours later, whatever,
you leave the next day,
is when you launch.
Yeah.
And you do it with the same amount of delay.
I'm curious
to see if they do things like that, if they have any of the gimmicky things where you can delay other teams or that only one person does things. Those are pretty much staples of The Amazing Race. And the comparisons are, I mean, it's going to be hard not to have.
Right. I almost hope they don't do stuff like that just to keep it different.
Yeah.
Keep it more about the journey, about the race. Because that's one thing that's been bugging us about The Amazing Race is it's not just about the race anymore. It's about, who got to the U-turn fastest and stuff like that. It's not so much just about who's the best competitor. It starts getting to be more about the gameplay, which starts losing some of the interest of that game for me. I mean, I'm all for gameplay, like in Survivor and Big Brother, stuff like that. But the race, I want to just see the race, and I want to see who's the best and the most talented and, figures out the puzzles quickest.
I'm also curious if they're going to have any of those time resets where
Everybody gets to something
and it's closed.
Yeah,
which it always seems so artificial. It gets to the point where it's
artificial.
You can
predict when it's coming on The Amazing Race.
I'm curious. I almost wonder if everybody doesn't start off on the same footing again in the next leg, whether you are in first or second to last.
Yeah.
You start off on the same on equal footing.
That'd be kind of interesting.
I would almost prefer that, just because.
Because then you don't have the same couple of teams winning all the time just because they were in first place. Right.
You get one good day and you're that far ahead. Right. Then again, how far behind can somebody get,
Right.
Before things start getting really ugly.
Right.
So, as it turned out, the Gypsies came in first.
Oh, they did? Porn Stashes?
Yep, Porn Stashes came in first. And those guys, to hear them talk, they had done a lot of traveling and training, because they were one of the first teams up the big hill.
Yeah.
They're like, we've worked out, we've prepared for things like this, we know what we're doing. And they did seem to do that. I mean, they got first place. If you were paying attention when I read the list of teams, that was the order they arrived in. So the last team to arrive was Latin Persuasion.
The girls from New York. They were annoying.
Yeah, the Rosie Perez's.
Oh my God, they did totally sound like Rosie Perez. Thank God they were off this week.
They were an unfortunate stereotype. They really did make themselves an unfortunate stereotype. So, yeah, I'll definitely keep watching that one. I think it'll be interesting to see how the teams do. And one of the teams to watch for me is No Limits, and they ended up in sixth this week. So, well, I'm kind of rooting for
them. They were one of the ones that went the wrong direction. They counted the snakes the wrong way. Otherwise, they would have probably been third.
Second or third, they got there pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and it was unfortunate because they were talking to and I don't have his name. I can look it up here real quick. Eric from No Limits is blind.
Okay, I guess that's nicer than just calling him Blind Kyle.
Yeah, they talked to Eric while his team was counting the snakes, and he's like, yeah. Kind of have to count on my teammates on this one. Being blind, I really can't help count the snakes. So, and that team seems to have a really good attitude about it. They're not...
I think they have to be able to help him out.
And... Yeah. In looking at it, two of them are motivational speakers. One of them is a soldier. Hmm. Is their listed professions.
I hope it's not the blind guy that's a soldier.
No, he is a motivational speaker / writer. The other guy on the team who's a motivational speaker is also a physician's assistant. That's Jeff. And then Aaron, or Ike Isaacson, is a soldier.
Hmm.
So, that's it for the week, I do believe.
Good.
Are you ready for bed now?
I am ready for bed.
All right, so...
But we can definitely recommend The Glee Project and Expedition Impossible, some good shows if you're into this kind of thing.
Yeah, I might have
to check out.
I might have to contact Sergio and let him know about Expedition Impossible.
That we actually talked about something other than dancing, dating, and singing shows.
Well, he told me that he was really only going to be interested when Survivor or Amazing Race are on. But I think Expedition Impossible may draw next week.
It's a big week. Big Brother starts.
Big Brother starts, but we won't be talking about it next episode.
No.
We will be talking about it
Thursday
the episode
next week.
After.
Yeah.
So next week actually might be kind of a light week because I think we're not going to have Glee Project. We're going to have a rerun of, we think we're going to have either a rerun or a clip show of The Bachelorette because of the holiday week. So
we'll have Expedition Impossible because it's on Thursday this week.
We'll have that, and we'll have the results of The Voice.
Results. Yeah.
So short episode next week, but
good. I'll be in bed before 10:30 next week. Yay!
All right. Thanks for listening.
It's all about my sleep.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to comment on any of the shows,
please comment.
Send an email. You can comment on the website. You can send a voicemail.
A tweet.
You can tweet. I'm trying to get the number.
Do you need a Facebook page for the Backseat Producers conglomerate that you're starting?
We have one.
Oh, whoops.
I can see...
Should I have known that?
I think now, because of that, you can manage it. So, if you want to leave a voicemail, you can either go to the website, and on the left-hand side, you can click the Call Me link, put in your phone number. It will call you, and you can leave a voicemail that way. Or, you can just call the number, and it's 618-207-4794.
Awesome.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.